Jews live in the land of Israel, and they have their first temple, which was originally built by King Solomon in the city of Jerusalem that was created by King David. And this first temple is destroyed by the Babylonians under the king of Nebuchadnezzar. Back then, Babylonia was the rising power in the world, and they were waging wars with all the countries nearby, and they were grabbing territories, and Israel became one of them. The temple was destroyed, and Jews were taken to Babylonia as slaves. Several decades go by, and Babylonia is defeated by Persia. Persia is now the superpower of the world, and Persian king Ahasuerus is ruling over 127 countries. He was pretty much the ruler of the entire civilized world, what was called back then civilized world, even though it wasn't very civilized, I think. He rules over the entire world, and he has an advisor whose name is Haman, or in English pronunciation it is Haman. And Haman does not like the Jews. He tells him, he says, there is one nation which is spread throughout the world, and they're different. They look different, they eat different, they talk different, they believe in different religion. Let's kill them. And Haman convinces the king to kill all the Jews. Now, this was a really unprecedented event in the Jewish history. And the Persian king lived in Shushan. Shushan, today it's called Shush in Persia. Shushan was the capital of Persia, modern-day Iran. Now, this was an unprecedented event in the Jewish history for any time before or after, because this was the only time the entire Jewish nation was on the brink of complete annihilation. Because any time afterwards, when Jews were in exile, Jews were always spread all over the world. So even if there was one king who wanted to kill Jews, or one leader who wanted to kill Jews in his country, the Jews would always be able to either run away or at least survive in other countries. Here, there was nowhere to run because he ruled over the entire world, and every country where Jews were was under him. So he was capable of killing every single Jew, and every single Jew would die if his plot would, God forbid, come true. So King Ahasuerus tells Haman, yeah, whatever, you want to kill Jews, go ahead, who cares? And Haman issues a decree that is signed by Ahasuerus that on this and this date, all the Jews are going to be killed, and this date turned out to be 14th of Adar, the 14th day of Jewish month of Adar. All the Jews are going to be killed, and it's going to be a big pogrom. What Haman did not know is that the king's wife was Jewish. Esther was taken to the king's palace. Esther, she was very beautiful. She won the beauty contest of the Persian Empire, and that's why she was taken by force to the king to be his wife. And she was not telling him till then that she was Jewish, and this was actually specifically because Mordechai, who was her foster father, told her not to tell anybody that she was Jewish. She was hiding this fact, which is uncharacteristic for something which we are usually striving to do. But in this case, specifically Mordechai, being a prophet, told her that there is a reason why you need to hide it for now. And this was the time when Mordechai came to the doors of the palace and said, listen, I told you till now not to tell anybody that you are Jewish. Guess what? Now is the time. Go to the king. Tell him that you are Jewish and your nation is about to be annihilated. And she makes a big feast for the king because she didn't want to just approach him with this request haphazardly. She wanted to have a proper preparation where he would be in a good mood. And then she makes another feast. And to make a long story short, she comes to him and she says, when he's in good mood, Your Majesty, Your Highness, Your Honor, when she was asking to make the first feast, she came to him on her own, and their law is that you are not allowed to come to the king on your own, only if he calls you. But if you are coming to him on your own, then your life is in your own hands, because if he wants to talk to you once you approach his chambers, then he'll talk to you. If he doesn't, then you will walk out one head shorter. And if you walk out one head shorter, it could ruin your whole day that day. So she is making this feast, and at this feast, she is telling Ahasuerus, her husband, that somebody wants to kill my entire nation. And the king, you have to understand, this was already a while back. He probably even forgot that he made this decree that Jews have to be killed. He's like, somebody is trying to kill you. Who is that? Haman. And Haman realizes that he made a big boo-boo. He didn't know that the queen is Jewish. So he already loved her. So, like, you know, you always have this anti-Semite who tells you, you're a good guy even though you're Jewish. Ahasuerus was like, hey, you're a nice lady even though you're Jewish. But then she came to him and she says, my whole house, my whole family, my whole nation is going to be destroyed. And king is like, oh yeah? Who is that? Who wants to kill all of you? He forgot he made this decree. And Esther says, it's this guy Haman. Now, do you know what happens afterwards? Haman realizes that the news are bad. So he starts begging Esther for forgiveness. And when he starts begging Esther for forgiveness, it looked like he was charging towards her and he was trying to grab her. And the king got upset because he thought that he is trying to hurt her. But the interesting thing was that the law of the land in Persia has been that once a decree is issued, it cannot be retrieved. It's beneath the king's dignity to retrieve his earlier issued laws. So when it sounds like the U.S. law, you could not annul laws. You can only make amendments that's going to say that the previous law is not in effect, but you cannot like erase it. So he said, listen, I issued a decree that people are allowed to kill Jews on this and this day. I cannot say that, no, you're not allowed to kill the Jews on this and this day. But what I will say is that Jews are allowed to defend themselves with weapons. Because Jews, back then, as by the way, later in the Asian world as well, had a status of dimmi, which was a status of a second-class citizen. I have a friend of mine whose father is a Chabad rabbi in Morocco. And he grew up in Morocco. And he was telling me, in Morocco, if you are you're a Jew, you're walking down the street, and an Arab is pushing you, or hitting you, or hurting you, you're not allowed to fight back. The only thing you can do is run away. If an Arab is throwing a stone at you, you cannot throw a stone back at him. If you will, you will be imprisoned for hurting the core citizens of the country. They are the core citizens, the main contingent of the country, and you are the guest. A guest cannot hurt the host. So this was probably, this still how it is in most of Muslim countries. But Jews back then, if they would be about to be killed and they would defend themselves without this second decree, they would not allow to defend themselves. And if they would defend themselves, then the Tsar's army would come after them, because Jews are not allowed to defend themselves. But here there was a law that Jews are allowed to defend themselves. So first of all, anybody who was planning to take part in this pogrom is now thinking twice. We are not killing just sitting ducks. We are killing people who are armed and who are ready to fight. Jews were emboldened and strengthened, and they defended themselves. And that's how Jews were able to prevail. And Haman himself, by the king's order, was hung on the gallows